you are listening to the Footy Mailbag Podcast with Damo and Butler.
Hello and welcome to the Footy Mailbag. My name is Damo and it feels like it's taken forever to get here, but we're finally at the last week of the aftermath of opening round with Melbourne and Richmond finally having their early season bye. Feels like a long time coming. And joining me as usual is Clarkie. We'll get to him in just a second because our first in-season guest of the season is also here. It is Mick, or Big Horse, from the Insight Fantasy Sports Network. Thanks for coming on the potty, Mick, and thanks for being here, Clarkie.
Yeah, thanks, Damo. I appreciate it. Thanks for the invite.
Clarkie?
Well, always good to be here.
A few rookies on the bubble this week, and so we'll have a chat about those guys in just a moment. But some interesting selection news tonight with the St Kilda Western Bulldogs teams, and especially with Rory Lobb coming into the side and Bevo talking about English as a more of a forward this week potentially. So what do we think happens to the Bulldogs? Do we think there's going to be a big change after the uproar of last week?
There kind of has to be. I think Bevo, has been told in no uncertain terms that he needs to pull his socks up, so to speak, and get some results for the Western Bulldogs Footy Club. So I think you'll see the likes of McRae, Bontempelli. Without Libra, it's a big ask, but I'd like to see Sanders play a full game as an inside mid too. I think he's got potential to be a really good player at the Western Bulldogs for a long time. But yeah, the Rory Lobb selection's a bit perplexing, isn't it? Is he going to go deep forward, or do you think it's going to play with Darcy's DPP eligibility?
I mean, you can never know what Luke Beveridge is going to do on any given day because he seems to just do it on a whim half the time. But it wouldn't surprise me if Lobb kind of takes that Norton role. Norton kind of moves into that Ugel Hagen role, and then nothing else really changes all that much. But does Lobb now get some ruck time, and there's now three rucks that need to get fed this week? Because Rowan Marshall is quite a aggressive ruckman, and these three guys aren't really, you know, big bullocking guys. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And there are some Tim English owners that are very nervous for this week and are wondering, why did I move on Grundy in the first place, or why did I start with him? Or, you know, some people have burned a couple of trades just to get to this ruckman, and now they might have to burn another one.
I think the best thing that we could advise this week is now's the time to get off the sinking ship that is the Western Bulldogs. Trade English to Rowan Marshall.
I don't know. I mean, if you've already traded Grundy to English, I think you got to hold and see if the role change is anything to worry about. Sometimes role changes are good because we've seen that Tim English is a good contested mark-up forward and an accurate kick for goal. And I don't know if many people know this. I've said it a couple of times, but I don't know how much it's been sort of circulated. But Tim English was a big-bodied mid before he had a massive growth spurt and then became a ruckman. So he can find the footy when he needs to. I don't think he's lost any of that agility. I think it's just the height that's meant he's had to kind of learn another position. And credit to him, he's learned the position pretty quickly. But I think there is scope for him to be good at another position, like being in the forward line, or like being more around the ball, or wherever they put him. There's even a chance that he could float behind the ball as well and really take advantage of Max King not being there and intercepting some kicks inside 50 from the Saints as well.
It's not a bad point you bring up there, Damo. The thing that I find a little perplexing, is that Tim English is currently number one at 40% hitouts to advantage in the AFL. So if he's going at that rate, you'd think that you'd want to keep him as the number one ruckman there at the Western Bulldogs and maximise his time in at centre bounces or in at around clearance to maximise the Western Bulldogs' chance of scoring or even getting the pill.
Yeah, for sure. And just what Clarkie said there, jump off the sinking ship that is the Western Bulldogs. Well, if Sanders is the sub or subbed out again, I don't think people will be holding him for another week. If Tim English's performance does get a bit crowded by Darcy or even Lobb, then I don't know. Then there'll be serious discussions about whether you move him on or not, and who you move him on to. Do you put Luke Jackson at R2 and see what happens in that space over the next couple of weeks when they've got West Coast and then Richmond in two of the next 3 weeks? So there's those kind of discussions that will probably need to happen if Tim English has a really poor game and Sanders has a subbed game or a sub-affected game. So Western Bulldogs aren't really a fantasy-friendly team at the moment. So I said at the top, we've got rookies on the bubble. Sam Closey is 102K in defense. He scored 200s in a row on debut. If you don't have him, you have to get him. Will Graham as well. He's got a break even of minus 91, 117K. Defense midfield eligible. He's another one that you should put high on your list. To be honest, you probably need him as much as you need Closey. So those are the two that you'll need to target if you didn't get one or the other last week. And then you've got guys like Charlie Common, who's 227K, Max Ramsden, Ethan Reed, and then Kane McAuliffe, who's on a bye this week because Richmond aren't playing, but also in the discussion if people need to free up some cash somewhere. It's a week for a double downgrade at the very least, isn't it, guys?
100%.
I think the first two people that we've listed there are the main targets.
Yeah.
If you don't get Closey or Graham this week, your economy is probably going to stutter a little bit because we don't know when the next crop of rookies are going to come through or potential cash cows are going to come through. So it's something that we need to be really mindful of in focusing on making sure that your team's economy is kept up. If you're someone who missed, say, a Dempsey or a Sharp type or anything like that, this is your sort of chance to recoup some of that you lost. So moving on some of those guys who aren't performing at the moment, Jai Clark is just coming off a sub game, who, if you still have him, absolutely is just tanked. It's time for him to go. Colby McKercher is injured, or he took a massive knock in his game. So this might be the time to sort of cash him in and move on to one of these guys that's going to be bringing in. I'd be interested to know for either of your monies, and we'll probably have some questions about it later, but is it worth going earlier on any of these guys? I'm always hesitant to go super early on anything other than a guaranteed rookie.
I mean, Hugo Garcia, I kind of got my eye on him. I don't know if I'd go early on him, but 43 points in just one quarter from 11 disposals and 7 tackles. That's some pretty good numbers. And I don't know if he's going to be a Sam Closey again, and we're going to get 100 from him this week, and we're going to have to jump on another rookie. But it would be nice if he got a full game so we could see how he could go in a whole 100 minutes on the ground. But even if he is sub-affected, I don't know if that would completely turn me off selecting him at 117K. If he's going to go 43 and a quarter, there's the chance that he could go 40 again. And I know that means a slow burn, but that's still money being generated from a cheap guy that can just sit on your M11 or F8 position and then eventually be cashed in later down the track. And he's kind of come from the clouds to get this debut in the first place. So I think Ross Lyon actually really likes the kid. So there's every chance that he's inserted into that team and plays a full game. Probably it might even be tomorrow night or might be the week after, who knows. But if Ross Lyon really likes this kid and is willing to give him a game pretty much out of nowhere, you kind of got to sit up and pay attention.
You have to. And those 7 tackles last week had no fluke either. The two games that he played in the VFL before that, he had 9 tackles in a game and 14 tackles in a game. So the kid loves to get his hands dirty. And I think you'll find that if he does get a full game, he will be rotating through the midfield and he will score quite well.
And then the other discussion is, do you go for Charlie Common, who's on the bubble at 227K, or do you go early on Big or New on who's 123K? And I actually don't know if I'm comfortable with either of them, just because Callan Dawson is 2 to 3 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he will come in for one of them at some point. And I just don't know if, I don't know who's going to get pushed out for him when he returns. You would think it would be Big or New on, but with Combin's body not really holding up it career to date, you just don't know what that durability is going to be like for him. But yeah, these North Melbourne keys, these key defenders, they're probably going to get games because they don't have a lot of, you know, their kitchen cupboard's kind of bare in that in that sort of position. But I don't know if I trust Clarkson. I think he's going to tinker with that defense until he finds something that kind of works.
I quite like the Combin pick for the facts, or a couple of factors. The minus 75 is quite a juicy prospect, where scoring 76 this week, he will make 70K cash just in 1 week alone. But when we're looking at the way that he plays, Clarkson is using him as an intercept defender, and he's got a good set of hands on him. So before he came into the AFL and scored 129 his first week, he had 15 marks in the VFL, and six of them were intercept contested marks. So I think Clarko likes what he sees out of Coombin, and that Biggie will be the first out of the two that will get dropped. Biggie turned the ball over a little bit by foot last week, and the 90-odd points that he scored is a bit skewed given that the ball was down there as much as what it was.
Fair point. I'm not massively into paying 200+K for a cash generator.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I got D'Ambrosio, and I also had Harley Reid, who Harley Reid's only just got going. And then we should also talk about McKercher as well, who's got a break even of 101 now, and he was over 200K as well. So, and he hasn't made a heap of cash either. So, you've got to be kept at a high standard. You've got to score at a high standard to keep your cash generation going. And I can see Charlie Common dropping a random 30 or a 40 and completely tanking at some point. When that will be, I don't know. But it's something that I'm not really comfortable spending 227K on.
I think the biggest thing for me is that we've flagged so many North Melbourne forward eligible players to rely on being in defensive 50 to get their points. And there's, no matter how much time the ball spends down there, the points are capped. So Cheezel's taking a big chunk of that through halfback and, you know, through his little bit of work in the middle as well. So then you've also got, you know, Fisher when he's going. You got Callan Dawson's coming in and out of there. Toby Pink was dropped, but let's be honest, North Melbourne could just throw him in at any point. You got Biggie, you've got now Combin. Who else? Like, there's just more things going through there that I think mean it's not necessarily reliable and would depend on the state of the game. I'm kind of a Damo where dropping that random 30 for, let's say you've still got a Sexton and you're looking to get rid of Sexton, you have to pay to go up, and then if that doesn't pan out, you're already 30 grand in the hole. So it's just a bit risky for me. I think some people, if you're hot on it, this is one of those ones where listen to your heart. If you,
for sure,
you are hot on Combin, I absolutely encourage you to do it. He's not someone for me that I've been like, oh, this guy excites me kind of thing. You know, conversely to, I've really enjoyed and been waiting for Will Graham to get his shot. I was pretty hot on him through draft, and, you know, up to now, it's really good to see him come in. But it just comes down to who you're paying attention to, right?
100%. Yep.
Let's move on. How weak is the forward line going to be? Because right now it looks like it's Heaney, then Flanders, then maybe a bit of Daylight, and then maybe Luke Jackson, and then after that, it's just a complete mess.
Yep.
It's a mess. Yeah. That's it.
So Heaney, Flanders will lock them in as being top forwards for the season.
Yes.
Do we think that Luke Jackson can hold on to a top eight position for the year?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd be hoping so. To be quite honest, I think he's more than proven at this point that he has the stones to be a linchpin, and taking away any of that time removes a very, very good aspect of what Freo are doing well at the moment. So I'm actually really concerned for Freo, just like on an AFL aspect of trying to integrate Darcy back in at any point.
I think that ruckman like Ivan Soldo and those types of players kind of take a toll on Luke Jackson. He's not that big-bodied ruckman who can move someone out of the center square to get his taps. So that's why Darcy and Jackson worked so well, a little bit like Gorn and Jackson worked so well back in the early days. So I think that it will only help Jackson remain involved for more of the game. It's just a matter of what that split looks like when Darcy returns, which we already know is going to be limited minutes, and whether that split remains or gets smaller and smaller for Jackson as Sean Darcy gets his fitness up. But I think Luke Jackson, having West Coast, then the Western Bulldogs, then Richmond,
that's juicy.
You could hold him through all those three games. Darcy's probably returning this week. You could see what that looks like, especially against Western Bulldogs when they've got Tim English in there and Sam Darcy and potentially Rory Lobb. That's three guys that these two ruckmen, maybe three ruckmen, they might throw Josh Tracy in there to go, you know, head to head with someone. But it's going to be interesting to see how he scores with Darcy in the team and whether the split is quite as dramatic as people are thinking. I think that Jackson can still score quite well, even if he only gets 40 or 35% ruck time, because the ball's going into the Dockers forward line quite a good amount. It's just not being retained in there because there's no one in there to take the marks. If Jackson's in there, I think the ball will probably get into his hands a bit more, and he might recover those lost points from not being in the ruck, from potentially getting on the scoreboard or getting possessions from getting those contested marks or those ground ball gets from the ball going into the Dockers forward 50. So I think Heaney, Flanders and Jackson are probably ones that people should probably hold on to. I can see the reasons why people would move on Luke Jackson, but if we're about getting the top players for each position, I don't think moving on Luke Jackson should be a priority.
I don't think he's a panic stations kind of player yet. People, I think, so far are overlooking Shea Bolton at the moment. His last three games have all been very, very decent tons. Didn't start off so good for this year, but seems to have really taken a step forward in how he's leading by example in both the midfield group. And as a forward, he's damaging on the scoreboard. He's very Petrarca-like, I would say, in how he sort of goes about his football, where he can sort of be dangerous at any point and they want to use him to get the ball. At 550?
Yep.
Sorry, I'm not wearing my good glasses. 550, I think he's someone that we probably have to consider to upgrade at some point if we're looking at how thin this forward line is going to be or how set this forward line is going to be. I don't know if either of you two are looking at him in your trade plans, but he's probably my next major forward that I'd be looking at.
Yeah, I really like what Shai Bolton is doing, and his teammate Liam Baker is also on my radar as well. He's available as a defender and a forward, but he might not get to the same heights as Shai Bolton, but I think his floor is a lot higher. So it's a matter of if you want someone who could go 60 or 120 on any given day, or 80 to 110 on any given day. So it kind of depends what gamble you want to make, and maybe you get both of them. Maybe both of them are a top 8 forward or top 10 forward by the end of the season. But
Taranto being dead also helps the case for both of them.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Richmond's injury list looks like the yellow pages at the moment. Do we think that Tom Powell could be a top forward? Do you think, like, the role is there, but do we think he can hold on to this kind of scoring?
He would be an absolute lock if he had a ruckman that could tap the ball to advantage.
Got him. Suck shit, North.
But you know what? Outside of that stinker that North Melbourne had as a team against Brisbane, he hasn't gone under 92 yet. It's just that one game. When you're talking about a player who's playing the majority of midfield minutes that he is, from a Supercoach perspective, he's outperforming LDU at the moment. Like, he's been probably the premier midfielder at North Melbourne so far this year.
Yeah, pound for pound, dollar for dollar.
Yep.
Tom Powell is paying his dues.
And if you take that 72 out, he's ranked a top six forward at the moment.
I'd agree.
Taylor Adams scored a 97 on in his first game for the Swans. Who knows how that changes when Luke Parker comes in.
Mm-hmm. Damn, I play the Lego breaking apart sound again.
It took me so long to find that last time. I hope I kept
the volume on it as well. It
yeah, I hope I kept it somewhere because I don't want to go looking for it again. Jeremy Cameron is averaging 95.8 across five games. He's someone that, if he holds on to this form, he could be another one that finishes in the top 8 to 10 forwards. And before we started recording, Mick, you mentioned Isaac Rankin and Clarkie. I think you might have traded him out.
I did, because he is a player that benefits a lot from Adelaide's big moments. He's been playing a lot more forward, and they've not been using him quite as much in the midfield. So his scoring has been a massive roller coaster. I think this is probably the time to see now Adelaide is seeing that it's sort of working. I'd be concerned if he could back up such a big scoring game, though, especially considering the fact that he was so involved in the plays that won the game for Adelaide against Carlton.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have Barron, who's our inside man, kind of. He's
a man in South Australia,
He's supported the Crows for a long time, and he's kind of cottoned on to how Matthew Nix works, and he's not confident that Isaac Rankin in the midfield will be a permanent fixture. So he might have a nice purple patch now while it's working, but as soon as Matt Crouch is available from suspension, or Rory Sloane decides if he wants to come back or not, there's every chance that Rankin moves back into his pinch hitting role and mostly forward. So I don't think it was a wrong call to trade out Isaac Rankin, to be honest, especially considering I don't trust anyone at the Crows at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit like Western Bulldogs, but Matthew Nix is not, doesn't make decisions on a whim. He's just a creature of habit, in that he knows how he wants his team structured. So I mentioned Liam Baker. He's averaging 85.2, 110 across his last three.
Is anyone here, and I hate to bring up the name, but known fuckhead Dane Zorko seems to be performing at the moment.
Until his hamstrings go.
Yeah. Our good friend DR shared a video about how he was seeing a doctor in another part of the world at some point. And he reckons that he's now got a program that will keep everything intact for him. And it's just whether you believe that or not.
Too bad it can't stop him from being a fuckhead.
Yeah, if you have a no flogs policy for your team, you probably don't want to target Dane Zorko.
Well, you're not having Zorko or Sicily in your team, are you?
Sicily, I can kind of respect.
Oh.
Mostly because he doesn't whinge nearly as much as Zorko. Like, let me put it this way: when Sicily gets into a fight, like, he's got a bit of dog about him, and he's always kind of on his mate's side. But Dane Zorko got pinched in the testicles by Tuck Miller, and the whole football world laughed. like enemy of football, if you ask me.
Yeah.
It's like crowds booing score reviews. There are very few things that we all agree on, and Dane Zorko not being a great bloke.
He's up there.
Also, the Harry Petty incident that the commentators refused to talk about in the Melbourne-Brisbane game.
Yeah.
You know, the history between Melbourne and Brisbane. Oh, you mean when Dane Zorko said to Harry Petty, I hope your mum dies? Cool. Great dude. History, baby. Anyway, sorry, that's my...
I also loved how when Noah Answorth made those crying hands, they were like, I don't know what that's about. It's like, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Why are we ignoring it?
All right, let's get on to our listener questions. Just a reminder, when we talk about some players, we might give them a green, yellow, or red rating. Green indicates a good pick. Yellow is a watch or a hold. Red is a trade or a void. These are our traffic lights. A player could earn their rating for several reasons, including but not limited to scoring potential, job security, price point, reliability, or injury status. Our traffic lights graphic goes live on our social media accounts on Thursday mornings. Sometimes we might respond to you in the comments and can see that we might have gotten the color wrong, but that's not here or there. First listener question comes from Matt Collins on Facebook.
Thanks, Matt.
So he's looking at doing one upgrade this week. Which of the two options are better? A, trade Sanders to Steele and he keeps Jack Carroll as bench cover, or trade Carroll to Walsh and keep Sanders as bench cover. Sam Walsh is the best that he can afford if he goes with option B, and he's not enjoying Carroll being the sub, and he thinks that Sanders is most likely better bench cover than Carroll. And, well, Matt, I think you answered your own question there. I would move Carroll to get Walsh.
Horse, I'd love to know, what do you think about going a week early on Walsh?
Don't like it.
I love Sam Walsh, and I would have picked him if he was healthy at the start of the season.
Yep.
But one big game, when you get another free hit at him before you have to spend
the money. The last time he scored over 116 was against Collingwood in 2021. So this is definitely a once-off for the past, three, four footy seasons that he's played for. He's come in fresh. It was a close game, scoring maximised. We all know the back is connected to the hamstring, and he's done plenty of hamstrings in the past. I want confirmation that he can go just as hard this week. He was sticking tackles last week. He was using the ball really well. I want to see it again before I commit, but he's one I will not go early on.
If he can back it up, he's probably my top. I'm probably going to go for him next week.
Yeah, I
know that there's a chance that I'll have to trade him out again, but I definitely think that if he can back up his 166 with who have they got this week? The Giants. If he can back it up with
Without Canelio and these sorts of players, though.
If he can back it up with a 125 plus, then I'll probably go for him as an upgrade in my midfield.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when we have a guest who has facts ready to go, firing from the hip. I wouldn't know what that's like. I've never lived that life, but I love that we get beautiful people in who have that.
So just quickly, the question was Sanders to Steele, keep Carroll, or Carroll to Walsh, keep Sanders. Which one would you guys go for? We'll go around the table. Mick, A or B?
A. This week.
So Sanders to Steele, okay?
Yes. Steele has been probably my number one pick so far this year that I started with in the preseason.
Clarkie?
Both of them have caveats, but I'd probably have to agree A is the better option, but does, as Matt's advised, it does leave him with worse bench cover. But, you know, you're not going to notice your bad bench cover when Jack Steele scores at 930.
Can I just put a disclaimer on A, Damo?
Yep.
In that GWS are going to be playing with an injured Kieran Briggs. So he's got a dodgy shoulder at the moment. So whether he plays or whether it's Braden Pruce that comes in, no Canelio. They've got no Sam Taylor this week. So if there's any week that they want to face GWS inside at Marvel where weather's not going to be an issue, it could be a week that Walsh does go large.
That's a fair caveat.
I think I'm a B, but I would revert to an A if Sanders is named as the sub.
That's fair. To be honest, you don't lose with either trade, Matt.
No, I think, yeah.
I mean, as long as Walsh stays fit, you're pretty well set. And the Blues have been pretty good with their injury management since probably Voss took over, I would say. Maybe there might have been a 3 to 4 month period where they weren't really doing that great, but I think they've really improved in that space over the last year or so. So I think they wouldn't have brought Sam Walsh in unless he was 100% fit. And I know that they took their time with him. So
Voss is also well known for doing his 1 month huge training blocks between, I want to say rounds 9 and 12, or yeah, whenever it incorporates the Carlton bye, round 13,
yeah,
where he absolutely pizzles the shit out of players and gets them as fit as he can, as evidenced by their run home last year, where I think they were 9-1 in their last 10 games.
Yeah.
After losing 8 of 9.
Next question is also from Matt, so he's submitted 2.
Coming back to the dip, Matt.
Common or Nuon? Going to Nuon early would leave 100k to use elsewhere.
Common, because I don't think you should get yourself into a cycle of going early on rookies.
If Dawson comes in 2 weeks, Nuon will be the first one dropped.
Yeah, I mean, as nice as it is to have 100k to play with, I think Common gives you points and job security if that's what you're looking for. Lewis or Louis on Facebook wants to know if there's any rookie-priced mids to replace Jai Clark or Jack Carroll. Well, we spoke about them at the top of the podcast. So you've got Will Graham or Kane McAuliffe, however you say that last name. Those are probably the two top mids to move those guys to. Just keep in mind that Kane McAuliffe. Kane at the Tigers is on a bye this week.
He is.
Tim on Twitter, do we think it's worth going a week early on Nuon or Garcia over a Comben, if it means being able to upgrade James Jordan to Isaac Heaney?
It's a big in. I'd be picking Garcia.
I wouldn't go early on Nuon. I'd go early on Garcia if I was going to go early. And I would 100% do it if it means you get Heaney in your tide.
And you'd probably have to wait right until teams were named to make sure he isn't the sub.
That's right.
If you're comfortable / uncomfortable with that.
Light week for questions. Just a reminder, guys, we do put a post on our Facebook on Sundays for any questions you want to send in for that week's podcast. So make sure you head to our Facebook or our Twitter page to send them through. Or we've also got a Google form link that is on our social media as well that you can send us questions. We also do draft questions as well. So whatever you want to know about Supercoach, send it through and we will do our best to answer them. It's time to do our captains for the week. Mick, as our guest, who's your vice captain this week?
I'm going the early crow on Thursday night, and I will be VCing Jack Steele this week.
Clarkie, who is your VC?
I've also got Jack Steele on Thursday against the Bulldogs. It just makes sense. I don't love going in the first game, but it's Jack Steele. Maybe he's... Max Gordon's not playing this week, so I'm going to go for the other guy on my team who can get 140+.
Jack Steele all round. I'm going for him as well as my vice captain. So Jack Steele all round as our VC. What about our captain?
Isaac Heaney for me against Gold Coast at the SCG.
Guess what? Isaac Heaney for me against Gold Coast at the SCG.
I'm going for Caleb Sarong against West Coast in
You're
the
saying
derby.
That to be different.
Nope. I will show you my team right now. I've had it like that for the last 2 days since the round opened.
That's all right. I trust you.
Sarong against West Coast at Optus Stadium. He should do all right. I don't think he will get attention from anyone in particular.
If
and,
we want other options.
Although I was about to say, just to roll a couple off the tongue, Nick Dacos scores very well against Port Adelaide, scoring 145 last time he played Port Adelaide at the MCG. Zach Merritt averages 135 in his last three against Adelaide. And Lockie Neal might be a nice little pick against Geelong. With that midfield of Tanner Broon and just being a little bit undersized, he may get off the chain there.
And I like Harry Sheezel because he's playing Hawthorn.
Would you be concerned with the Finn McGuinness trade? Tag. Sorry?
Not particularly, because I don't think you can make North any... I think Sheezel has just been getting the job done. I'm not necessarily super concerned with it. I don't know. Time will tell.
It will.
Yeah, I was going to mention the Harry Sheezel as well. I don't think they'll put McGuinness on him, but...
Well, that's it.
I also don't think that... Has Sheezel been tagged this season? Because I thought he was tagged, or someone tried to tag him in the game against Brisbane, and it didn't work. It just didn't matter.
Hmm. It is two teams that are both looking for their first win, so that may play a factor in it. But even with the last two opponents that McGuinness has gone to, Dacos scored over 100 or 99. I can't remember exactly what it was. And then Flanders last week pumped out another 116. So it's probably not as big a factor as what it would have been this time last year.
Yeah, tagging seems to slowly be a dying art in modern football, which is good for Supercoach.
Absolutely.
I don't think many teams have an out and out dedicated tagger anymore. I think it's just players that will go head to head with someone from the other team, which means you see some really good battles. I think Steele and Green went head to head last week, and I think the week before it was Green and Matt Rowell. So I don't think there is a dedicated tagger, or I don't think there's many teams with a dedicated tagger. All right. That's it for this episode of the Footy Mailbag. Mick, thanks for coming on and answering some questions with us.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Where can people find you and let them know what you got going on this season?
Yeah, so you can find me at Insight Fantasy Sports on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all good social media platforms. You'll see us on YouTube as well. Having a bloody awesome season, not so much from a Supercoach front because I think I'm just inside the top 10,000 at the moment, but just with people talking footy, we love that sort of jazz. So yeah, if you enjoy talking footy, hit us up. And it's not just footy, it's cricket, basketball, NRL, you name it, it's all there.
Clarkey, thank you again.
Always a pleasure.
If you haven't given us a rating on your listening platform of choice, please do so. It helps new listeners find us and puts the algorithms in our sort of corner to put us at the top of your search.
It puts us in your algorithm.
It puts us in your algorithm. That's probably the best way to put it. Make sure you check out Supercoach Rings at supercoachchampion.com for a Super Bowl style ring for your league winner. And we'll talk next time.
Peace.